John Wright and Sylvia Wright, it's a pleasure having you here on KC Currents.
Thank you so much.
So, first of all, and I guess this question is to both of you, what motivates your interest in Black history?
Well, it goes all the way back to high school when I was in the Negro History Club in high school. So it's been a long time interest because many things I've learned have been left out of our history books. And so if you want to become well-rounded, especially if you're in education and working with youngsters, where you can add things that they won't get unless you bring it to the attention of those who are teaching them.
Was there anything in particular that you learned about Missouri that helped produce so many extraordinary people who are African-American?
No, I think St. Louis, by being the gateway, many people came through St. Louis before heading west. And so in the early part of the history of the country, African-Americans coming through St. Louis played a major role in that history. Also, the civil rights movement in St. Louis, there were some landmark cases that came out of St. Louis that had profound impact on the nation. And so learning that in history and studying history, it just made you want to do more and make sure everyone's aware of that.
Now, I noticed in your book, there are names that many of us know very well. I mean, you have Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou and, Arthur Ashe, Josephine Baker. But then you also have included some lesser-known people. Why was it also important to include maybe those unsung heroes, those names of people that others may not be aware of?
Well, you know, in doing the book, we found after we finished, we have a whole large number of other individuals who are unknown. And it's good to give credence to those who we all know. We don't want them to be forgotten. But also there are a group of individuals who little has been told about their trials and tribulations and the things they did to overcome many obstacles. And those stories need to be told also. So it's trying to do a combination of living, deceased, current, past, heroes, and individuals who've contributed to this nation.
So listen, let's talk about someone that probably very few people know about, and that's York, who played a role in the Lewis and Clark expedition. John, do you want to talk a little about York?
Yeah, the interesting thing, most of the books leave York out, but I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to put more about York in the small passage we have, because you're limited to about 350 words. But York was what do you call a shadow leader. You know, he would go out, scout the trails. He would make friends with the Indians. He was able to carry a rifle. And most slaves who weren't too bright, the team would never let them lead them through the wilderness. They were always dependent upon York because in the Indian culture, black was magic. And I understand from some of the writing, some of the men even were jealous of York because some of the Indians wanted their wives to be with York. And, you know, that caused tension sometimes.
Now, there's a story in your book about a 14-year-old slave named Celia. Really a demonstration of the kind of injustice that was done during slavery. Do you want to talk some about that?
Yes, she had been purchased at the age of 14. And the gentleman who purchased her, I don't know if I can call him a gentleman, but the individual who purchased her, before they got home, he began to have sex with her. Out of that relationship, forced relationship, there were a couple of children born. One of the individuals who was enslaved on the same farm had a strong affection for Celia and told her if the gentleman who was the individual who was having an affair with her, if he kept staying around, he would no longer continue to see her. She was ill. She had told Mr. Newsom, who had kept coming to the cabin, not to come. And he forced himself on her, and she hit him with a log and kept hitting him and then burned the body up. they searched for the for him the next morning. So finally she confessed of the killing. Whites even hit her while they appealed to the Missouri Supreme Court for her to be released because of the situation. She was hung. They waited till the baby was born. He was born, stillborn. And they hung her. And her relatives are still in live in St. Louis. And they've tried to make contact with the Newsom family. And they've been in that area. And so it's a story that's well known pretty much in the area here now. Because family members, there is a book written about this whole incident, a number of textbooks. She's listed as one of the stories of slavery.
Now, as you think about all of these stories, are there any others that really stand out to you or were especially interesting to you as you did the research?
In doing the book and reading about Jim Beckworth, who was, he was a pioneer, sort of. He was a scout for those going west. And the thing that impressed me mostly about him, he became part of an Indian tribe as well, but the fact that there is a pass through the Sierra Mountains that's named for him because he was the one that found it and guided people on their way to California and, you know, further westward. And I just think that's just a wonderful thing to be a part of our map, the map of the United States with the name Jim Beckworth.
Beckworth Pass.
Alvin Coffey is an interesting story. He left St. Louis with the 49ers going west, and he was told by his owner that you can make enough money and you can buy your freedom. And his owner was sick most of the time, so Alvin worked like a dog. And the owner decided it was time to come back. And so when he returned to St. Louis, they sold him and kept the money, all the money he had made for himself and his owner was all kept, and he was sold. His new owner allowed him to go back to California. And when he returned, he had enough money to pay for his family's freedom and his freedom. And he became the only African-American of the California pioneers. And his family did well in the valley. He opened the first school for African Americans and Indians out there in the valley. And I think that's a story that tells of determination. In spite of all the obstacles, he could have given up. But he said, let me go back. I'll make enough money to pay you for my family and my freedom and make it worth your while to let me go back to the gold mines. And so he worked day and night mining gold, doing laundry, and saved enough money to purchase his freedom and his family's freedom.
That's really some determination, isn't it?
That is.
So what statement do you hope your book makes about African Americans in Missouri?
Well, I think it's anything's possible if you have a vision and a dream and determination. I think that's the key. And it also says what African Americans have done to help shape the history of this country. Because important court cases help make America what America is supposed to be and should be for everyone.
Is it also part of your mission to show young people that the people who had success, the people that did succeed, also had to learn how to fail and how to stumble?
Yes, we have, you know, the story of Sonny Liston. You know, he was a success, but he died of a drug overdose. You know, he didn't know how to cope with his success. And Red Fox, although we don't talk about it, he got so angry, he had a heart attack on the set and ended his career. It's learning how to cope. You know, we talk about their failures. Everyone wasn't a shining example in every phase of their life. But they had determination and a dream to reach that determination. I think that's the most important thing.
Susan and John is right. But the other thing about the book and learning about these people who came through many trials, many of them did, is that it's important that students know, but everybody knows in this country, that we've all had we've all contributed to this great nation of ours. And so, you know, if we're students today, they need to know about these people who are really rather obscure because they haven't been taught about them. But just to know that we all have contributed to the greatness of this country of ours. And it's just so important, I think. And so I hope that our book in some small way can, you know, let a child know or let anyone know, even adults, well, wow, we didn't know this, and this is good to know about the many of the people who are in the book who had to overcome so much, but mainly that we've all contributed to our country and its greatness.
So what's next for the Wrights?
Well, I tell you, there's a project I can't announce right now. In fact, we're working on it now. It's one that one of the city officials has asked about doing. And so it's all on the exploratory stage to see if we can pull it off. And then, you know, since we did this 100, over 100, start gathering information for another 100 because we have so many who have left off and left behind. And probably when we finish that, there'll be another group of people. In the process of doing research, you find a lot of things, and people will call you and tell you about things. And so it's a never-ending process. You never finish. There's room for 100 other books by other individuals.
Well, he's interested our sons, two of our sons in this too, Susan. So, you know, we'll see what they come up with. They're both teachers, too.
The next generation of Wrights writers.
That's right.
Well, John and Sylvia Wright, I really appreciate you being on KC Currents.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Susan.